director and sign a road use agreement, and we're good to go. But it gives, again, very crudely, but again, we, if a TIA is triggered, 400 trips per day, we need to do the vetting. It needs to be vetted. But I think that in Daisy's explanation of the continuum, you have your TIA upon site plan review. We can check the box before we issue your zoning sign off if you have a road use agreement.
Yeah, and the agreement would be sort of submitted as evidence of compliance with
yes.
land use standard, exactly.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I think I'm tracking what you're saying, so maybe just tweaking that a little bit.
I think the key is that it's just a little more proactive than and then I guess another question I had was you noted that, another comment. With respect to the conditions of approval, you noted you'd be tweaking the language there. I think that the only comment we would have is that we would still request that those state agency authorizations be tied to commencement of the proposed use. And
so
maybe that certificate of occupancy.
Can we, I think this is a really good opportunity, Chair, if I may. I think reassuring we hear what you say. And it honestly was a little shocking when Daisy and I talked to somebody from your AWS team and said, sometimes it takes a year lead time for DEQ to even start to process an air permit.
Yeah, so years, we're talking years.
And that is a really long time. But the form, the Lux form that DEQ gives us, I was just showing, showing David, they don't give us that in-between box. It's either allowed outright, period, or it's approved. What they used to have back in the day, been around for a while, was that in-between thing, like, hey, we've given preliminary approval so we can sign it, or there is a path forward, we want you all to get started. Otherwise, it means you need to come to us 2 years in advance, right?
Yeah,
which is not feasible, right? Yeah,
no, we're not planning. So we do want to talk to you about this Lux issue. I think it is a big issue right now.
Okay.
And it's one that might take some creative thinking. I don't know that we're prepared right now to say exactly what the solution should be, but I appreciate you calling it out as an issue and understanding that it's becoming kind of sort of a stopper in the process.
Yeah. And maybe if the commission wants to continue the hearing to August, we could bring in some DEQ folks and explain it to them so that they get it, because they don't understand the land use process, nor do I understand their permit review process. So we could have that exchange with them and figure out where we can expedite that process.
Okay. If I may, too, I think this is something we just recently have been discussing, but we have a catch-all that just says all your state and federal permits need to be approved prior to zoning permit, and we, again, acknowledge that that's not realistic for a lot of development. I think that specifically, though, with, like, air permits, we don't have a real nexus for needing to be involved in your air permit, right? Even like your 1200C permit, a lot of jurisdictions do a grading permit or like that type of review, but we don't. And so I think maybe we can get a little more nuanced and say, what do we care about? We care about water, we care about sewer, we care about industrial wastewater. Those are things that we've been under more scrutiny to ensure are in place prior to these developments being built. And I think that there is an important piece there for us to say, we do have a role in being that, like, in state agency coordination and being in that role of signing your zoning permit to be involved in that process. And so maybe we need to get a little bit more specific about which permits may or may not be required under which circumstances. But we do also acknowledge, like, there really isn't any reason we need to see your air permit. But, like, again, that would be something that could be approved at the COO. Another thing we need to also be considering is that our planning department, we don't review the certificate of occupancy. We don't sign off on the certificate of occupancy. It's not a planning process. And so a lot of the time where our challenge is when we have a condition of approval that's not implemented until the certificate of occupancy, we don't have like a built-in process for ensuring that it's been met. And so that might be something where we need to change our processes. But again, our code just doesn't really like contemplate this level of industrial scale development. And I think that we need to just be cognizant of that reality and either change our process or build in like triggers for us to be meeting those minimum requirements.
Yeah. And I appreciate you explaining the sort of certificate of occupancies. I think that when we saw the language saying that transportation improvements would be checked off at conditions that requiring transportation improvements would be checked off at a certificate of occupancy. Oh, there must be a mechanism for doing so.
And
we would urge that. I mean, we really would. If there's a way to have like a mechanism at that point, it is the point at which we think that impacts are likely to commence, and that like you're likely you will have all permits in hand. So.
Full disclosure, that was language that you recommended that we, in a prior process, that we just
threw there. Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
So maybe
I've
had
lost track of the drafts. honestly, it was like, okay.
That was all you. But okay. I think we just need to be a little bit more critical or think a little bit harder about what our role is at those different stages in the process and make sure that our requirements are being met. So.
Okay. So I think maybe some of my comments might be already addressed based on kind of which portions of our edits you are going to adopt versus not. When would we know, I guess, that the specifics of kind of how much of this is going to get adopted versus not?
So,
yes.
Chair, we looked at a few dates, actually, where we can invite you and the port and anybody else, UEC, if they want to have a work session. So based on if the Planning Commission wants to continue this hearing, and as staff, we recommend that you do, because there's a lot of moving parts, to the August hearing. So we've got a date sometime on August 13th, 14th, or 15th where we can convene virtually or in person. We know it's a long drive for some of you, and go over what we think is probably pretty close to a final version. Mm-hmm. And then there's a week or so that Daisy could then reconcile those things.
Okay. We'll have to figure out what it means.
We'll be there.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Tara, can I have a comment? Mm-hmm. I think it's important, we get DEQ on board, having gone through the process of having to just now get DEQ permits for our project. It does take a year. In fact, I just had to renew for another year.
And we renewed our permit.
Yeah, so I think it's important that we are doing what they say. And because we came up where we thought we were approved, and then they got a new person on board who threw more things out there. Mm-hmm. Yes, that delayed it like a month. So I do think it would be important to have a representative or someone be able to guide us what they are going to require and see if at that point of occupancy, if that is appropriate for them.
All right. Can we just explore this? And it makes my brain hurt, and this is our business, right? But what we're asking, so let's take an on-site septic permit for a large facility, which is very different than an on-site septic permit for an individual household. Anything under 2,500 GPM is approved through Umatilla County Public Health. And that's why a zoning permit for a residence is easy peasy. I can't imagine that we'd need to do administrative review. But a larger facility will have, you might have 100 or plus employees, and it will need a large on-site septic permit. I had to dig into the weeds so I could wrap my brain around it. It has a fully different process. So they actually have to do a groundwater analysis, and they have, and this is probably similar to what you did, although Ione has its own unique issues there. And then DEQ provides continuous, for the life of the project, annual monitoring. But what if we didn't require that permit and we signed off on it, and then that system couldn't get built? I don't know where to go with that. So if we said, for example, proof from DEQ that said on this site, a data center campus
it can qualify for a large on-site septic system. And then have to do a groundwater study. And we say, yeah, you know, we don't need that permit for your on-site septic, final approval from DEQ. Go ahead and start building your buildings, but before the building inspector can do a COO, you need a permit. But what if that permit doesn't come?
If I could just respond to that, that's a huge risk for developers.
Yeah.
They're building, especially for these larger facilities.
Yeah.
No developer wants to be building an empty building that's unusable due to lack of availability of services. So a large amount of vetting goes into this, and that risk, I understand there's a risk, but I think it's pretty minimal after like a developer has committed to a development like this. Meanwhile, the requirement that the permit comes super early in the process is really onerous. So you balance risk with burden, right? And so, like, I think that I understand that there is a risk, but the burden is so high requiring this so early. So there, I feel like addressing this minimal risk with such a high burden is a bit of an imbalance. If we could address that risk with something more workable for a developer, that would be helpful. And again, the developers do, I know that AWS does look into this, it's a huge piece of, you know, site selection and the initial decision to even begin.
Okay. I have a question.
Yeah.
If you want that to be able to proceed without a permit, would you assume all the risks regarding that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, yes, definitely.
So
and we're not actually proceeding with...
This is a two-part question, so let me ask it really quick. So in the event that DEQ says that your septic is going to be either a lot more expensive than you expected or impact the people or environment around you in a negative way, what happens then?
I don't... So the expensive piece, that's a risk, right? That's a business risk. The risk that... it adversely impacts neighboring wells or whatnot. I mean, DEQ has its standards, and they won't issue a permit if it exceeds specific standards, right? So I think that you have to. That the reality is, you have to meet the standard. You can't get a permit and proceed without meeting the state minimum standards.
Well, there's different methods of impact, though, not just environmental. Some of it's visual, some of it's quality of life, things like that. So, I mean, I'm just seeing things that could potentially happen if we don't require that permit and the people surrounding it are not fully aware of what is the end product. That's my point.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my only concern. I mean, ahead of time, if you have that permit in place, you know exactly what's going in, all those questions are answered. But if you don't have it ahead of time, we don't know how it's going to end up.
I still feel like we need to have DEQ give some advice or give a finding on if that's appropriate or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I agree.
And honestly, you know, this isn't about data centers. We needed to update the process for all the reasons Daisy explained. But our code is not set up to handle large industrial developments outside urban growth areas. We're a rural county. Our whole code, really, it's pretty universal in the really rural counties. All of our standards are written assuming it's going to be something like a farm dwelling or a non-farm dwelling and some other things that might happen in an industrial zone or inside urban growth boundaries where you have urban services. And now it's different. So we're adjusting. Might be slow to learn, appreciate them all, but I think we're sharing the message that we see this balance that we need to provide. So
now we need to make sure we're within all regulations and nobody's going to get a fine or in trouble.
Well, I also think we need to make sure we are considering all the options, not just the industry, but the people who live in the county. I think our residents need to have some sense of protection and quality of life. So that's all my concern is. Whenever I'm talking to you guys, that's all my concern is. I'm not against AWS or the developments, but I have to live here.
Yeah.
lived here 24 years.
Well, we do. I didn't get to say this because it was part of my explaining the reasoning kind of behind some of the others, but that is the reasoning, is that, you know, we've discussed these concerns about water, about traffic, about waste disposal, and you know, staff invited AWS to propose revisions, and I think what we tried to do was propose language that really did address specifically these concerns. And so I think that this is, a developer who's committed to the community, who's heard concerns, who is, wanting to be part of the process and to create a process that is workable for all.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And I personally, for me, I just want to make sure that process follows state regulations and everything. And I don't think it would hurt to bring DEQ in to get their opinion on it. Just, it's not going to delay it if we keep this hearing open anyway. But at least it will give us clarity too, not just for this decision, but for others in the future.
Yeah.
Sure makes sense for me to keep this meeting open for another month or to continue it to let you guys have more opportunity to discuss the issues that you feel like you need to.
Thank you.
All right,
who's on?
John.
Okay.
John.
No. There are Sarah Stuffer Curtis and Jacob Kane, I think, are on for the board.
I think Tech
and Pat.
Oh, and Tess.
Pat Collins was on there too.
Oh, Pat. Tess, one is your subcontractors, David?
I think they're.
Jacob.
No?
Okay.
This is Tess Mike Morris. I am of Rowan Digital Infrastructure.
Oh, she's with Rowan. Thank you, Tess. Okay. Thank you.
That's why I just want to know if we had additional public comment online or Zoom.
This is Sarah Stopper Curtis. Is this an okay time for me to provide some limited comment?
Yes.
Okay, yes. For the record, my name is Sarah Stopper Curtis. I'm a land use attorney with Stoll Reeves Law Firm in Portland, 760 Southwest 9th Avenue. Tonight I'm appearing before you on behalf of the Port of Morrow. I'm going to be very brief because the port supports the idea of a work session in August and continuing this discussion, and appreciate staff working with us on some of the proposed revisions that we have sent to the commission and to staff. I did, though, want to just provide a couple clarifying questions or comments. I want to just respond to staff's statement that the port is asking for an exemption or an exception to the county's process in terms of providing state permits or in the language that we have suggested. That's just not the case. The language we have suggested really is to try to address the realities of the lead time for securing required state permits, such as water and wastewater permits. The port works with the state agencies on a regular basis, and of course is committed to securing all the permits that are required. But many of the developments that occur on port-owned industrial land have to occur over a course of years, and it's simply not the case that we can always have the permits, or the port can always have the permits in hand at the time the land use process is underway or the land use permits are needed. If you look at other jurisdictions throughout the state in these types of very intense industrial development, typically state permits are checked at the time of either occupancy or a plan check or a zoning check later in the process. And as Megan noted in her testimony, the state requirement really is for the applicant at the land use stage to show that there's feasibility to secure water or wastewater. So many of the comments that the port has have already been discussed tonight, and I'm not going to add additional comments to what we've already provided, but we will look forward to participating in the discussion and looking at some of the revised language, hopefully at a work session in the coming weeks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have additional?
Alrighty then.
I guess I don't want to speak. So at this point, I believe that we've had it very obvious that we want to keep the hearing continued, mm-hmm. and slate to have work session on whatever days work for all parties to clarify some language and move forward from there.
Yeah, I think we should.
So the next meeting is.
Yep, you got it.
Yep, August 27th in Hefner.
Yes,
6 p.m.
Continue the hearing to August 27th in Hefner.
So do I have to take a roll call vote?
I don't think we have to vote on continuing.
Okay, I didn't think so. It just says ask staff.
Yeah, ask staff. Okay,
for a roll call.
I think we just continue. All
right, so that's what we will do on the.
Can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. I mean, Daisy, everybody's put a lot of work into this, and for full transparency, we've shown you the red line version. If we've reprinted the whole code for you, I think you'd really cringe. But I think Daisy was saying earlier that she would, the next version of what you see will be all of the areas in the code that need to be changed and might use a couple different colors, right?
So, yes. So I can do it a couple different ways. If you guys like the way it's presented, where we're really only breaking out the pieces of code that are being changed, that way we can provide the whole entire code so that you guys can really look at pieces we might have missed and compare and contrast and see what it is. I also, though, I think especially with the Article 5 changes, I would like to have a version for you guys to look at that has a color-coded, this is what AWS is recommending, this is what the port's recommending, this is what UAC is recommending, and notes for you about what we're accepting, what we're rejecting, and maybe a short description of why we've made that recommendation. So I think specifically to Article 5, I don't think we need to do that for the entire code, but that's just the piece that we've gotten the most feedback on, and where it kind of gets a little confusing about who's recommending what, where, you know, changes have been made, what we've accepted, what we've rejected, and then also, again, through the process, there have been so many versions that it's kind of hard to keep track of. So I think, yeah, Article 5, I think I'll do color-coded with a highlighted, like, accepted or rejected and comments. The rest of it, I think we'll either keep it in the same format or provide you with the whole actual code, which is, like,
a lot of pages.
Yeah. But if you guys would like that, okay.
I mean, anyone else
can you
have,
remove
but
the notes side of it?
Remove the notes on it?
Yeah, like this side, yeah, the notes on the...
Yeah, absolutely, side. Remove the notes.
And,
yeah.
You know, even on Article 5, after we have our work session, either August 13th, 14th, or 15th, and we'll send out a meeting request, we might come up with some consensus language.
That'd be really nice.
That stuff happens, mm-hmm. Yay!
I feel if people want the full, can request it, and it's on the website.
It's on the website. If you want to request a copy of this, you can borrow mine. But yeah, I'll probably keep it in the same format, but with the red lines, I'll eliminate the comments on the side so that it's a little bit more readable. Some of the, I think that's fine. And then Article 5 will be broken out with color-coded language about what we've accepted, what we've rejected.
Daisy, this is Commissioner Finch. I have a question. So when the final product is proposed, does the Planning Commission vote on the code alteration, or is it just an administrative
We vote on it.
And you will be voting on a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners, and the Board of Commissioners will be making the final approval, and they can make changes if they disagree with what the Planning Commission says, or they can remand it back for you guys to reconsider if they have additional concerns that we haven't addressed.
Okay, thank you. I was just curious about the process. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, on that, looks like we don't have any public comment tonight.
Anybody? Just general public comment?
Okay.
Adjourned.
Thank you.
Good discussion.
Thank you. Oh, you
do
guys
know
there
are
forms
for that.
You recording stopped.
To sign.
No, I just want to tell you.